Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, this is Liz Cambay.
This is Nikki Collin.
What up guys, this is Essie Starkey.
Hey, this is Imani Media Stafford.
Hey, this is Jordan Canada.
This is Asia Wilson.
Welcome to the WNBA Nation.
WNBA Nation, hello again. So good to have you. It's been a minute. We've all had a very long week here at the show, but we had to get something in, and we think you're going to enjoy it. I'm Steve Schwartzman. I'm flanked by Logan Jones. Logan, happy.
I'm Logan Jones, and I'm going to sit further away from my computer so that our audio is somewhat balanced. We are not only dealing with some technical issues on our end, but obviously life stuff, which always seems to get in the way in the summertime. It's the joys of covering a summer sport. But I'm glad to be back. I know I've been off for a month. I've been in several different time zones and doing all kinds of different things. Steve, I know you're preparing your house to be sold and moving. So we got a lot of stuff going on with the crew here, but we definitely want to make sure.
Showing the open houses.
Oh, yeah.
The Haywoods are high rolling it.
Yeah, the Haywoods are out in Colorado just because they're like, we haven't been to Colorado in a while. They're taking their kids on family vacations like they should. All that is to say, it's good to be back on because we are in a really interesting point in the season. Where everybody's got plenty of games left to make up some ground or to lose ground in the playoff race, but it doesn't quite feel like we're in the final push yet. So that's why we're gonna take today for some summary topics. We're gonna branch out a little bit.
That's what we're gonna do. It's been an interesting week, and you know, for those listening to this episode, this week has been a rough week content wise. We haven't been able to get live on Twitch in a minute. And we weren't able to put out an episode, but I think we're getting our legs back under us, and especially coming into August, we'll be able to have a more typical schedule, as we're hoping, and close in on the playoffs with as much ferocity as some of these teams should be, and we'll see how that goes. But you know what? There's a lot to cover in a lot of ways, but you know, as I'm recording this, I'm watching the Sue and DT's final game, Seattle Phoenix, which looks like it has potential to go down the wire. We're coming out about the All-Star break. We've got a Commissioner's Cup final. We've got, what's going to be a pretty heated playoff race toward the bottom of playoff bracket, a lot of stuff to get into. And we're now just over halfway through the season. We have a lot of teams to evaluate, to talk about, to get excited about. And we decided we were going to approach this in a very different format because I don't know if you know this, Logan. It's like really hot right now.
So hot.
It's hot. I think it's a notable news thing. Like it's hot everywhere. Like it's unseasonably heat wave in most places. People who live in like Phoenix and Vegas and California are like, psh. But it's been unseasonably warm this summer for a lot of us. And so we thought we would take an interesting break to try and at least verbally cool everyone down in a way. But before we reveal what that's going to be about, Logan, why don't you tell our trusty listeners, new and more seasoned, where they can find us, how they can experience everything WME Nation is offered.
Absolutely. You already found the podcast, so congratulations on that. We are available anywhere podcasts are found. You can also find us on Twitter, where the conversation is always going on, at WNBA Nation Pod. You can follow us there, follow all the people that we follow, and be extremely informed as to the goings-on of the league night after night. And then we have a website at WNBA, or not at W. It's just WNBAnation.com. That's how websites work. You don't need to add the at tag to find us. And through the website, you'll be able to find all of our recent content as well as our store, which I know Jason and Steve have both put their heads together for some really awesome ideas that are over there. So go over there, grab yourself a mug off the store, subscribe, like, follow, and of course, leave your 5-star reviews so we can read them on air.
You know, it's funny because we're about to talk about the initial idea that I'd had, or the idea we have coming into this episode. But one idea that I'd had that was really fringe because we haven't done a bracket file and because the Commissioner's Cup is coming up, I was like, maybe we'll just do like an all cups bracket. You know, you brought up mugs and I'm like, you got the mug versus the thermos versus the plastic tumbler. I think the solo cup would go deeper than some people will admit. You know, cup takes. That's my new podcast, my new side venture. Oh, Steve, welcome to Cup Ticks. It's time to talk about cups. As you can tell, I'm very exhausted, but I'm going to keep this energized. You know why, Logan? Because we're going to talk ice cream, aren't we?
We are. You know, and you know why we're going to do that?
Because we want to.
Because it's hot.
It's so hot. We got up to 103, and for us here in the state of Utah, that's not okay. Well, maybe like Southern Utah, like St. George, they're probably used to that sort of thing. But they think they've got it even worse. It's heat wave season, and we thought an interesting way to evaluate the WNBA standings, all 12 teams at this point in the season, heading into the final stretch to the playoffs, is to have a little role play time. And that means Logan and I are going to assign each team an ice cream. What ice cream is each team and why? You guys have been familiar with this. I think most recently was when Jason and I did the apple discussion, which was brought with, honestly, a very peculiar amount of success. A lot of people like that one.
I know our friends over at the Mystics really like that one. I'm hoping they like the ice cream draft as well, because I don't know jack about apples. I don't know a thing. I listened to that episode. I could still probably only name you like 4 apples.
I remember we did a pie one not long ago, about a year or so ago. I believe that's the one where I called Mississippi Mud Pie putrid, and it's very controversial.
Shook the foundations of our friendship. Yes, you're correct.
Yeah, it really, there were cracks. I may have done some damage there. This one I'm excited about. Now, a little behind the scenes fun before we dive into these, and I think this will help enliven things a little bit. A portion of this roster we actually already had pre-recorded, but there is a bit of a technical issue with the audio. We weren't able to put it out. So we're going to go ahead and continue as normal, but the first 4 teams, we may speed through a little bit because we've already discussed these ones. Once we get out of that packet, we will essentially be starting a new pause for yawn. Very polite of me. Did you ever get yelled at in class ever for yawning?
No, I got yelled at for never shutting up, but yawning was...
Yeah, I've been yelled at for yawning a couple times in class. That's like an old school teacher, like the biggest sign of disrespect is to yawn in class thing. Because apparently it means you don't like the class or you're bored by the class. And sometimes that was true. But also sometimes it's 17-year-old me wasn't made to be up at 5:30.
Nobody was. I don't know why they did that to us. Dude, don't get me on my public education rant. We don't have time for it today. We got to talk about
that. We most certainly do not. when we get Elizabeth Warren on the show, we'll have more time to hit on that. But today, not so much. We're doing this through kind of a soft draft, or as I call the soft serve draft, which means we'll go one at a time and pick a team.
Now we both
will assign an ice cream to that team, but the draft format comes in that one of us at a time gets to pick which team's next. Even this being our second recording, I still haven't done any like side research as far as ice cream flavors or not, because I want this to stay fairly raw. But we'll review over the first teams we did, then hit it that way. We started off, Logan, you selected Minnesota Lynx. I'm going to pass it over to you to call that out again and talk to us about the Minnesota sure. Lynx. So the Minnesota Lynx are an ice cream. What ice cream is it?
The Minnesota Lynx are Rocky Road ice cream. Because when I think about the Minnesota Lynx, the words that come to mind in my little word cloud are things like good, but not as good as I expected. Inconsistent from night to night.
Almonds.
A little squishier than I'd prefer. No, that's all right. I got a little too far on the ice cream side of that metaphor. But truthfully, yeah. What it comes down to is I'm a chocolate guy. You're going to pick up on that in today's draft if you haven't listened to our food drafts before. I like chocolate. I don't particularly look forward to Rocky Road ice cream. And it's because it can be really good or really bad, just depending on where you go. And that's my take on Minnesota.
It's a terrible nightmare.
This Minnesota team, which currently sits 10-17 down in 10th place, I don't think they're making the playoffs despite playing a little bit better as of late. I think they got off to a really rocky start. They're probably closer to a 500 team talent-wise. And they did suffer some weeks without Sylvia Fowles, although we're absolutely thrilled that she is back in the lineup for a proper send-off 100%. Season. It did look earlier in the season like maybe her torn cartilage problem was going to cost her this last year, and that would have really sucked. So there's lots to like about Minnesota in a grand sense. And I think to a certain extent, they're one of the names in this league that people who don't really follow the WNBA could still probably name. Like, Minnesota Lynx are associated with success, championships, great players, Maya Moore, whatever. So people know it. And to me, that's like every ice cream place you ever go into will have some version of Rocky Road. You just don't know if it's worth getting into or not. And that's where I'm at with the Lynx.
I totally feel you there. I think my pick is in a similar vein, which we've already talked about, but we're going to hit this one again, and that's that the Minnesota Lynx are Spumoni. And I say this because Spumoni confuses me, and that's exactly what the Minnesota Lynx have done this season. Really confused me. The thing about Spumoni is technically it's more like a formation of ice cream traditionally. Technically, the idea of Spumoni is just three flavors of gelato mixed together. There is a traditional lineup, which is typically chocolate on cherry on pistachio. And that's kind of where it comes from. I'm not really into a cherry flavor generally, especially when it has like the actual full fruit cherry in it. That's not my deal. Pistachio as a dessert flavor has always confused me and weirded me out, because I've had pistachio ice cream that's tasted good. I've had pistachio cake that's tasted good, but it's still, that's like the saltiest snack I can think of. I like pistachios and I never understood how they translated to dessert. So Spumoni is a weird mixture of flavors that has been strange to me, but I've had some that I've liked and I know people who love it. And that's the thing when it comes to this team, the Lynx. It almost seemed like they were intentionally bottom feeding. Like, we want to keep Paige Beckers in Minneapolis in the area when she leaves UConn. So yeah. We're going to try and tank to pick her up in a couple of years or something like that. I mean, they were playing that poorly and almost, you could watch the end of their games and it almost looked like I'm not going to say like fixing because it's not like a betting thing, but
it wasn't
what's
good.
Going on here?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it feels like they've turned the gas back on. You know, they get Sill back. It feels like they're finding some rhythm, potentially too late. And it's just, what are you?
Yeah, you know, maybe Fowles' return.
Are you a good ice cream or a bad ice cream?
Yeah, maybe Fowles' return sparks some things there. I could definitely see them wanting to play for her and giving her a proper send-off season.
If she's a portion of this, she's the chocolate layer. She's the part that saves the whole ice cream in a way. That's why she's Sweet Sill. That's how it works.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because, like, Spumoni ice cream confuses me and weirds me out to the point where, like, you look at the Lynx, you look at how they were playing at the start of the year, and the thought was, like, should we just kind of tank and hold back and see if draft picks are a friend? And Spumoni's kind of like that, because sometimes you'll see Spumoni and be like, I don't know. Should we just not do dessert? We'll just finish dinner and go home.
I want to take a quick second here to apologize to our good friend Ben W. out in Minnesota, friend of the show. For anything that sounds like a negative review of his Minnesota Lynx, because I know he's a big fan, he's listening, but it doesn't look at this point like they're going to be a real credible threat to a playoff position. I know things can still happen, but it seems like this is going to be a non-factor season for them and really just be defined by Sylvia Fowles being on her way out. And really, I have no idea what this team looks like next year.
Yeah, it's really intriguing. So there's our run from Minnesota. From there, it kicked over to me. So just to review Minnesota really quick, Rocky Road, Spumoni. That's just a fun... First of all, that's just a fantastic... I can't even think.
It sounds like a B-52 song.
If they ever like redo the military alphabet, it's just like it's Code Rocky Road Spumoni. But like, yeah, or something like that. It's just got a fun name. I just don't know for what. But we then kicked over to the Connecticut Sun. This is where I opened the Ben and Jerry's vault, which I have a feeling we're going to revisit at some point. But I gave the Connecticut Sun Chunky Monkey, and there were a lot of reasons for it. And it's very similar to how they've been on brand as a squad all, you know, this past several years, which is to say, Chunky Monkey, if you've never really tried it, you can look at the ingredient listing in it, and it seems odd. You're talking banana ice cream with like fudge chunks and walnuts, and it seems odd. But, and you and I have talked about this, we both experienced it, especially within the first couple bites. I don't know how to explain Chunky Monkey works. It's the hardest ice cream for me to explain. But if you take any of those pieces out of the equation or put any of them on their own, it doesn't quite fit. You need the texture and some of that slight bitter note of the walnuts to work with the fudge chunks to kind of smooth over the banana. It all makes sense and it all fits in its own way. And that is very much how I view a Connecticut Sun team who seem to consistently have starters who all are going to average 15-8. It's just when all of them are putting in their levels, they're all putting in that effort when they're healthy, when they're at full strength, that system just works and it's really hard to beat. But if one piece of it is lacking, it seems like it's having a tough go. And you see that, you know, obviously they have a reigning MVP and she's going to stand out and be a star player. But right now, as they dole as a squad, it can work. When it seems like some things are lacking here and there, you get what's happened the last 10 games for them, where they've been a little lukewarm. Granted, they had what seemed to be a very smooth victory tonight over Minnesota, ironically. But I think that's kind of where I take it, is the actual structure of the ingredients for this squad matters a whole bunch. Which is frightening in terms of a playoff, or if they're able to maintain a deep playoff run, because there are a lot of high talented defensive teams that might know how to neutralize a piece or two, but we'll see how that goes. But that was my take. I went to Ben and Jerry's Chunky Monkey, and you for Connecticut went where?
Connecticut is my cookies and cream. You first, just talking about the actual team, you won't find a better, like a clearer, even distribution among their core eight players in the rotation. I mean, they play more than that when they can, because they're a good team and they can throw in some rookies, but they're starting five, all averages double digits, but nobody, I mean, Jonquel Jones leads the pack with 15 points, but like nobody's really like way out in front. They're probably their sixth or seventh best player on the team is Natisha Heidemann. She's still out there 25 minutes a game, 9 points, like steady as anything. I mean, this team knows how to share the ball. They know how to run Kurt Miller's system. And consistency and being consistently good is where I go with cookies and cream. I don't think cookies and cream is really anyone's like super favorite flavor of ice cream. It's fine if it is good Oreo chunks and all that. Tillamook ice cream, cookies and cream is in my freezer right now. But I think it's one of the safest picks. I think if you were to pull, so if you were to give a thousand people ranked choice voting of all the major flavors, I think it floats towards the top every time, because everyone's, it's not offensive. Everyone's like, I mean, I like it. I enjoy it. I think it's going to be there at the end of the postseason. It's got a chance to make a run. They always do. But it's not necessarily the number one. When you think of like who's the number one this year, it's been Vegas at times. Right now it's Chicago, Connecticut. As always, they look like they're going to be on the podium, but it feels like they need a little something more if they want to eclipse that and yeah. finally get to the top.
That makes a lot of sense, because as we've talked about before, there are a few ice creams that run better than a good chunky cookies and cream.
Oh, when you find you have, like, that half Oreo in a cookies and cream, it's like, yes.
Money.
Yes.
That's everything. I'm just going to, I mean, it'll be days after the fact when we actually put this out, but I'm just going to cut off right now in the name of women's sports. Shout out to Sydney McLaughlin. Did you see this?
No.
Just went and dropped the world record in 400 hurdles today. Just showed up, messed around, and found out. So new world record holder in the hurdles, which I contend to be the hardest race in track and field, but that's me.
400 hurdles is fascinating because I'm convinced they could run that fast with or without the hurdles on the track. Like, they just don't even look like they just glide over. It's ridiculous.
I'm assuming you've at least run a 400 in some format.
Yeah, it's miserable.
Yeah. And then literally can't get over these things. Don't jump them. Run over them. You'll know what we mean. It is, in high school where I'm from, it was 300 meters for the hurdles. For some reason, they thought that extra 100 would, like, kill us. But just out of curiosity, a couple times in practice when I was doing hurdles, we ran the 400. And it was one of those, like, you saw the light at the end of the tunnel type moments. Just like, everything's in pain. So, Cindy Glockham, congratulations. Fantastic. We're going to go ahead and move. Yeah, I love a good track break. My favorite. Moving forward, though, so we discussed Minnesota, Connecticut. We then moved on to the New York Liberty. Logan, you had a disclaimer about this, but I liked where you went with Liberty. So
okay.
I'll get over to you.
Yeah, like, I know what people are going to say. It's a little bit, maybe it's because of the color, but not all the way. The New York Liberty, to me, are mint chocolate chip. I know there's some divisive.
If you didn't think about that at first.
Yeah, it wasn't the reason, but it also made it feel like it fit, so I stuck with it. The reason being that I actually think mint chocolate chip is like a small change away from being an elite ice cream flavor. And I think you can see where I'm going with that. I mean, they've got a lot of good pieces going on here in New York. We've got a full season of Sabrina so far. She's consistent as ever, 17-7-6. Her stat line across the board. You've got Natasha Howard, who I think, while not necessarily the defensive play of the year type pickup that they wanted her to be, she's still been a very steady force as a big in that lineup. You've got tons of other pieces that we love that are young, they're hungry, they're in their first or second season. They haven't even touched their potential ceiling yet. But much like mint chocolate chip ice cream, they have some tinkering to do. They haven't found the recipe yet. They need to, and I'm not referring to any specific players here, but they need to offload the hard, crunchy, rectangular chocolate chips, and they need to find something else that can make it a truly elite flavor. I know, have you had, like, mint ice cream with, like, the Oreo, like the crushed Oreo?
Yeah, Grasshopper.
Yeah, Grasshopper. I want New York Liberty to be Grasshopper. Right now, they're a little bit of a freezer-burnt mint chocolate chip. And they're just a season away from being able to make that change. I'm very excited for their future. As it stands right now, again, a team that's not really going to be a factor towards the rest of the season. But we want to see development on the part of Sabrina and company, because there is some stuff going on there. I do think they've got something with Sandy Brondello there in New York. And they're a team that I enjoy watching play, although I realize that they've hit some rough skids in the season. But next year is kind of their prove it year, and I hope that we see good things from them.
Absolutely. On a different note, with the Liberty, I gave them the Moose Tracks because I think I asked the same question about the Liberty that I do about Moose Tracks, which is this doing too much? Is it trying a little too hard? You've got the chocolate ripple and the caramel and then a peanut butter cup, not just peanut butter. You go out of your way to the peanut butter cup. It feels like you might be trying too hard. And I look up and down on this Liberty roster right now. I think one of the issues is from front court to back court, I don't get a full feel for how their identity is set up. You look at their front court and they have talent spread abroad, but it's a lot of identities that don't seem to mesh together completely. You know, they're trying to make that Steph, Natasha Howard setup work, but Hanju's kind of in the answer to their front court.
Yeah.
And it's still coming off the bench. Sabrina's obviously playing phenomenally well in the backcourt, but you're looking at this going like, this used to be kind of a Sammy Whitcomb backcourt, and it seemed to kind of work. And then one day, it's a surprise, Crystal Dangerfield's here. Like, just showed up with her bags.
Yeah, they've got Dangerfield and Onunwere and, like, D.D. Richards. Like, they've got players that I'm really interested in. And to be fair, their recent rough stretch before this little break that we've had has been because, I mean, and at Phoenix, Vegas, at Connecticut, at Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, three of those teams are in the top five teams in the league. Maybe all three of them, you could consider them legitimate contenders for a title this year. Obviously, that's not who the Liberty are yet. So it's not a shock that they're running into some roadblocks here. I would like to see them become the team that can consistently beat teams that they're supposed to beat. And right now, there's just not a lot of teams that they're supposed to beat.
Exactly. It's kind of, we've got the exact grains of clay we need to form this into a ball on the wheel. And now, at some point, they need to finally decide, okay, what shape is this team taking? And then it will really pick things up. And to close out our first four, we went with, so that's the Liberty. I feel like I'm moving really fast, but that was the Liberty, Mint Chip, Moose Tracks. Then we headed over to Vegas. This is where I took the take that the Aces, and this is a very high mark for Steve. So Aces fans know that this is a very, very solid compliment coming from me specifically. Because I love soft serve ice cream, and the Aces are a soft serve twist cone. There are a few things that hit home like a twist cone. It's kind of like the peanut butter and jelly of soft serve ice cream, in that it just kind of like texturally, flavor wise, it looks fantastic. The ultimate, like if you're at a carnival or something like that, and you see someone with something, the ultimate, like I need to know where that is if someone has like a tall boy soft serve cone. And you're just like, that's the answer. That's what's going to hit the spot. If you have a local grocery that does a good one, our Macy's groceries here, and not Macy's, the department store, but spelled differently, they have what's called a Kong cone, which I swear it's like an 18-inch tall soft serve cone. It's wonderful. And so I think it works and it's fantastic in that way. But there are a lot of reasons where that's symbolic to what the Aces are putting together. First of all, they both work well in high-octane environments. You kind of have to play it quick and succinct with your soft-serve cone because it's soft-serve. It's going to melt faster. And if you have too tall of one, that means you're putting it in a position to tip. You don't want that. I think one of the biggest things it stands out for, though, is given its success with what it lost. Because everyone, you know, Liz Cambage leaves this team. People are curious how that's going to affect the success rate for the Aces, and it kind of feels like they found an even better groove. There's a lot of pieces kind of clicked in place once they fixed that. And the thing is, we've all experienced a soft serve twist cone. We've also experienced a soft serve twist dipped cone. And while on paper, it makes sense, right? Having that nice candy shell over everything is good. And yeah, it does taste like I've enjoyed it. But we've all been halfway through a dipped cone and realized maybe this would actually have been a better case with just a regular cone, because now suddenly the warmness of the chocolate's making things drip and melt, and the chocolate's gotten a little rich and it hasn't quite worked. Maybe this is better off as a cone the whole time. And that is, in a way, how I feel about these Aces. They kind of figured out the formula quite quickly. It turns out Becky Hammon really knows how to work a soft serve machine. And credit to her for that. So that's where I took Vegas. What are you rolling with over in Vegas?
And if I may add to your soft cone metaphor, I think also while their championship window is obviously open, it's not going to last forever. So you may want to enjoy the sweetness of what you've got going on there in Vegas while you can, because they've been good for a while, and I think they'll be good as long as they've got Adrian Wilson. But be careful, Vegas. I love this Vegas team. Of course, I think they have a chance of winning it all this year. I think if you've watched them play at all, you know that on the right night, they can have the most potent offense in the league. To me, they have the honor of being named the Tillamook Mudslide ice cream flavor, which is chocolate ice cream with chocolate, like, fudgy ripples throughout. The dangerous thing about Tillamook Mudslide is you can have too much of a good thing. And I eat cereal bowls full of ice cream, but when it comes to this one, you got to be careful.
Richard with Abba is a giant cookie.
I admire that hiring Becky Hammon and having Asia as kind of the rock that they've built all these great pieces around has been able to really survive a lot of departures. I mean, I mentioned this on the first iteration of this recording, but the big three in Vegas under Bill Laimbeer was Kayla McBride and Asia Wilson and Liz Cambage. And Cambage is the only one of those left, but still, like, Chelsea Gray has stepped up. Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, those are all, De'Erica Hamby, like, those are all players that every other team in the league would die to open up a roster spot for. Those are just, they're just a great collection of players. To me, it feels like it feels like the complexion of a team that is going to win rings together. They've always had that attitude. It looks like they're hungry for it this year, and I believe they can do it. Here's the problem. They're 6-6 in their last 12, Steve.
Yeah.
They started the year. Yeah, they started the year 13-2. Their only losses were, I believe, Connecticut and Washington, two other very good teams. You're going to lose occasionally. It happens. That's basketball. They're 6-6 in the last 12, and their last three losses have been to Minnesota, who they gave up 100 points to, and they lost by 30. They lost to New York, who they gave up 116 to. And they lost to Atlanta by 15. So I'm not questioning their ability, but maybe the consistency and the intimidation factor of going into the postseason with anyone you play, even in the first round, knowing, like, sometimes it's not their night. They're not impenetrable. They're not invulnerable. We have a chance, and that's not the Vegas team that we've known for at least the first half of this season and much of the last two seasons. So just be careful. I'm a big Asia Wilson guy. If I was to throw money at a team to win it all right now, Vegas would probably be my favorite, but they don't wield the sort of overpowering influence you might think a team with a 19-8 record might wield.
Yeah, I mean, a couple weeks ago, it seemed pretty given this was going to be the front-running team. In the standings, it looked like it. All of a sudden, they're a game and a half behind Chicago. Chicago stole the first team into the playoffs bid that Vegas had. It'll be very interesting. Now, if they come, historically speaking, their best bet is to actually come into this Commissioner's Cup game sluggish. Because apparently, if you win the Commissioner's Cup game, this poll gets granted upon your roster, and suddenly you're running like you have cinder blocks on your shoulders and you can't play ball anymore. Well, we'll see how that goes. I will say one quick thing. So you call that Kelsey Plum, and I'm really glad you did, because actually, you know, when I think about a soft serve cone and I think about, you know, having a cone and kind of holding it, I got to say, the first time I saw that All-Star MVP trophy, I mean, the immediate thing I obviously thought, like a lot of others, is get 18 inches of twist in there. Like, that's...
Oh, that's very close to where I thought you were going, but not quite.
That's the perfect ice cream cone-sized, like...
I feel bad for our listeners, because I know you're not going to be able to unsee this, but the Commissioner's Cup logo is straight up a sugar cone.
It has that feel to it.
In fact... Yeah. If I were to assign an ice cream flavor to the Commissioner's Cup, it would be a cone, which ice cream has fallen out of the cone.
I gotta say this. Like, it's always like a thing where, like, you know, you hear about the Stanley Cup, people drink like champagne out of the Stanley Cup and things like that. If you have a cup flavored trophy and you haven't thought about filling it with soft serve, like, that's perfect. What are we doing here? Or some non-gooey cereal that crunches some Crispix. Put some Crispix in there. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't drink, so maybe I'm just not fun, but put some twist soft serve in your trophies. Anyway, this got weird. We have 8 more teams to get through and a lot of real estate to plug on here, Logan. Who's your 5th team? Who do you want to chat next?
All right. Yeah, this is breaking new ground now. We didn't get this far last time, so.
this is fresh.
Let's see. Who do I have a good one for? You want to talk about the Atlanta Dream?
Yeah, let's do it.
The Atlanta Dream are right now, they're as middle of the road as you can get. They're right behind the LA Sparks. They have a 12-15 record, which I think we can all agree is above expectation for the season. I know it's not quite 500, and they've had a couple close ones they could have gotten, but Ryan Howard, she's going to be the rookie of the year. She's a bona fide number one overall pick, and she's lived up to the billing. There's a lot to like here. It's surprising. You like it more than you think you're going to, but it's also not going to make your top 4 or 5. But if someone serves it to you at a birthday, you're going, okay, Steve, I'm okay with birthday cake ice cream. I'm okay with it. It's better than I thought it was going to be. It looks a little crazy at the beginning of the season. We were like, is this going to be the most boring team in the league? Like, isn't birthday cake just sugar flavored? Is it just sugar flavored ice cream? And then you try some and you're like, you know what? I'm glad. I'm glad it's here. I'm glad it's in the mix. I'm glad that they probably are going to make the playoffs. I'm excited to see first year Ryan Howard take a team to the playoffs that last year looked dead in the water. And I've become a little bit of a dream believer. I don't think they're going to do anything super special this year, but the fact that they were able to go from the team I was least interested in to one of the more compelling storylines of the season. It's this to me, their flavor for their season is surprising and pleasing.
Yeah. I like where you went there, because if there was a collection if you give me 2 words to sum up Atlanta right now, I'd probably say pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Now they are 12-15. I mean, they started much hotter than they're finishing. So that's one thing. Which is why there's a better version of this ice cream and a better version of this team in terms of pleasantly surprised rosters right now for me. So that would we get to that team? As a matter of fact, I'll probably just go to that team next after we talk about this. But that's why they're a butter pecan to me.
Mm.
That's a pleasant surprise. Mm. It's because butter pecan is very much, that's one of your classic, it's almost like an old person ice cream, like just calling it what it is. But when I had a scoop of butter pecan, I've been like, right, it's actually really solid. This is good stuff. And you know, you're into it, you're excited about it, and you know, you're glad you had a bowl. I don't know that it's definitely not a second scoop ice cream. It's not one that I think I go, oh, you know, I need to go for another round.
No, I'm not disappointed if,
well, I've got it.
Yeah, if the party runs out, I'm not like crushed. You know what I mean? Like if it's like, oh, that was the last scoop. Sorry. It's like, don't even worry about it. But I'll eat it if it's there.
100%. That's Atlanta. I like that take completely.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think we're going to move swiftly onward, and I'm just going to stay on this route, because there were 2 teams that have pleasantly surprised me this year. Of course, the Dream and the Washington Mystics.
Gosh, the Mystics are so freaking rad this year.
Yeah, they are. They're exciting. And they're good. And we shouldn't be shocked, because when this squad was initially put together, especially with Alicia Clark joining the squad, they looked dangerous. They looked like they were going to be the title-ready team. And then everything got injured. Not everyone. Everything. Every ligament and joint you can think of, it just felt like this team got so injury riddled. We're finally seeing them somewhat work at a proper pace. and they're playing extremely competitively well. And so they pleasantly surprised me. But they haven't Butter Pecan pleasantly surprised me. They've Caramel Cashewed.
Ooh, the salty sweetness. Yeah,
Caramel
that's a good,
Cashew.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Is, and it's fitting, given their ranking right currently, as I say this, in the standings. They are a top five ice cream. I'll say it. It's one that if you're thinking of great flavors or like fun flavors, it may not top on people's lists, but that's a big one. You're a chocolate guy, so I understand if like it's not going to be an immediate go-to for you. But I'll say this as well. Some people are going to think I'm nuts. Mine and Jenny's like favorite cake ice cream mixture, like what we commonly do for her birthday, because I'm weird and I always do non-cakes for my birthday, is Jenny loves German chocolate cake and caramel cashew ice cream. And I've decided that caramel cashew is like the perfect complement to like a really good chocolate cake. It just has that. And it's sweet, it's salty, and the defensive prowess of Washington speaks to that saltiness, what that cashew brings to the table. And I've just really enjoyed seeing what this product can put together. And I'm really scared for playoff predictions because I have a feeling Washington's going to blow some up. and that's where I'm at. Caramel cashew, that's the mystic.
I want to just agree with you because that's a perfect take. Basically, I just want to echo everything you said, although my pick was going to be Oregon strawberry. My top favorite ice creams are all fairly chocolate based. This is probably my favorite ice cream that's a little bit different. And when I look at the top five teams right now, I think Chicago, Vegas, Connecticut, the usual suspects, Seattle Storm, not quite the season we necessarily expected, but right now they're 17-9 and still having a great season. And they're exactly the team that they've been for the last couple of years. And then Washington Mystics is kind of the standout. They're probably the most compelling storyline of a team this season. We were obviously down on them in our preseason predictions, didn't know what it was going to look like. For it feels like 3 years now, we've talked about how good they could be if they could put it all together, but injuries and overseas players and it just didn't ever feel like it was going to happen. And now I'm looking at them thinking, I don't know, I think they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. Ariel Atkins is having a really good season. I really like Shakira Austin.
Yes.
Tasha Cloud's on that team. She's one of my favorite voices in the league this year, calling out the I like when players can respectfully call out the disrespect that they feel by being snubbed in different ways, and she's definitely one of those. And then it's just good to see Elena Deladon out on the floor doing it when she's available. She has played 19 games this season. That's not bad. When she's out there, she's averaging 17.6 rebounds a game. She's still elite in this league at the top level of her sport, despite feeling a couple years removed from that magical championship run. So, that's my take on them. I know it's weird to give a Washington, D.C. team an Oregon flavor, but that's what I did.
There you have it. I don't know how much feather ruffling this is going to be, but while I have absolutely no reason not to put my vote in for Ryan Howard for Rookie of the Year, if you asked me to vote today, I would give my vote to Shakira Austin.
Just to make sure that she received one, just be like, let's acknowledge.
Maybe.
You know, like.
But I would get why anyone would put in that vote for Howard because she's playing fantastically and she's been a good impetus for what Atlanta has done. But not only Shakira Austin played incredibly well on a top five team, she's had to cover the load of Elena Deladon many times and has done so sensationally. That's me today, but also, you know, talking about ice cream. So
talk about,
let's move on to the back half of our list, and not necessarily back half in terms of rankings, just whatever order we want to talk about them. We're through Minnesota, Connecticut, New York, Vegas, Atlanta, Washington. Who you got next?
Could the Dallas Wings be any more cookie dough ice cream?
Why does that work? Why does that make sense?
It's the most obvious pick to me. It's so blatant. And you know what I mean? Like you're going through your cookie dough and you're looking for that good chunk of cookie dough and you're looking to try to get a good cookie dough ice cream ratio. And when it hits, it's great. And that's your Ariel Atkins 30-point explosion game. You're like, oh, I'm glad I got cookie dough ice cream. This is what I thought it was going to be. And then there's a couple bites in between those bites that are just bland and just empty calories. And that's how I view a lot of the Dallas Wings season this year. They are clinging currently to the eighth spot in the playoffs. They do have a showdown with Phoenix at the end of the season. If both those teams stay close, that might determine who gets that eighth seed. I think Dallas's schedule is a little easier than Phoenix. So I do think they can slip into the playoffs again for the second straight year, which would be impressive for a young team that's been through a lot. But there's just not a lot about that team that excites me. And aside from the occasional Arike goes for tons of points because she's a former points leader in the league type game, there's just, like, it's not the players' fault. I like Marina Mabry. I like a lot of players on that team. But we got a question on our podcast Twitter account earlier tonight from Starfighter that just said, why does Dallas do the things that Dallas does? And that's... that's why they're cookie dough. It's like, why isn't this better? Like, this should be better than it is. I wish it was better than it is.
Question, yeah.
But it leaves me wanting more.
I don't know if this is off kilter or not. I'm just going to straight up agree with you.
That's because that's what they are.
Yeah. I don't have a better, I don't have even an alternate take. It just really does work. The only thing I could think of is to do like a, go back to Ben and Jerry's and do like a half-baked take. Of like,
oh, that's, yeah, yeah.
Where that like those brownie nuggets are when, like when Arike goes off, when you have the Uriah Kids big game, when you have Marina Mabry coming off huge in the second half, that's when you get like that irresistible brownie. Because say what you want about cookie dough, but what makes half-baked great is the fact that there's brownie batter there to kind of shoulder it a little bit. And that's kind of part of it. But other than that, yeah. As soon as you said it, I was like, I got nothing. Because that's just so, it's too perfect. I'm like, mad. I'll go with the Ben and Jerry's half-baked just to be slightly different. But that's just because then I don't have to specifically copy with cookie dough. Because it really is true. There have been such a hard nut to crack. How many times have we come together in our group chat just being like, what are we feeling about Dallas? Like, what are we feeling?
You know when you open a new tub of cookie dough and there's not any visible at the top and you just wonder if you got scammed into buying vanilla ice cream and you're like, is there even any in there? Like... That's exactly. How Dallas makes me feel at times this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. That's, man. Dang it, man.
You're up for, we've got I'm excited for the ones we have left.
Yeah, you say it. Who do we want to go with next? Let's talk about the Sparks.
Yeah, I've got a good one for the Sparks.
I'm interested to hear you have the Sparks. Go for it.
Oh, for me, the Sparks are any ice cream.
I'm not sure yet.
Oh, they're any ice cream with peanut butter in it.
just curious.
And the reason why is because not only are they middle of the road, on the right end of the middle of the road, they're 6, they're 12 and 14. They're having an okay season.
I got this.
They're any like peanut buttery ice cream because every time I have it, I couldn't be more neutral. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It doesn't necessarily work for me all the time, but I usually finish my bowl. There's always like a lot of interesting flavor options, but it always ends up just being like all I taste is peanut butter. I'm going super neutral on this pick because I'm not saying that I think they're great or that they're bad. I love like the occasional Ogumake sister, you know, superpower game. Sometimes it does hit just right if they're in the mood for it, but they've also had, you know, 5-game losing streaks this year where they just didn't look put together. It looks like the end of the season for them is a little bit tough. They've got a doubleheader against Connecticut in there. They've got Washington and Vegas still on the schedule. But ultimately they should end up in the pack, right? Like, they're going to be a playoff team. They're not going to be a high seed or a low seed. So, like, I don't know what expectations should be for them. And that's exactly why I'm giving them just a blanket, whatever peanut butter flavor. Neko Ogumike is having a great season. She's averaging 19 points a game and about 7 rebounds. If you are new to the league and you haven't tuned in to a lot of Sparks games, do pay attention to Neko. I think she's one of the more, she's a name that people know, but she's not getting the headlines of players on the top teams, right? Like, if you're playing for a top three especially, team in the league right now,
especially on this roster.
Yeah. Yeah. So I you know,
demand for that.
Yeah. And this roster is a collection of players who've been a lot of other places. And so if you want to get a feel for what the LA Sparks are about, this is actually kind of a conglomeration of a lot of things. You've got Liz Cambage, who's probably best known for her days in Vegas, although she was obviously in Dallas before that. Brittany Sykes, Katie Lou Sanderson, who's played for almost every team in the league already. Jordan Canada from her days up in Seattle. Kennedy Carter, who was just in Atlanta last year. Like, you can just keep going down the list. They do play a lot of players, which is fun. They have a core rotation of about 9 or 10. And it's been working for them. They've been winning despite that. So they've been getting lots of players fresh minutes and getting them in there. So they're peanut buttery. They're good. I wouldn't call them delicious, but I'm intrigued.
There you go. This is why this one was an epiphany for me. I really think the Sparks are rainbow sherbet because what is rainbow sherbet? Typically, you see it differently, but you're typically talking orange, raspberry, lime sherbet. Three loud flavors. And that's what we just added to the Sparks, some loud flavors. And I don't mean like, oh, they talk a lot and they're loud. I just mean there is a lot of explosive, exciting basketball, a very engaging personality, is the makings of what should create a very exciting and engaging team. Much like you have three flavors that should create a very exciting, engaging, and eye-catching ice cream, or sherbet, I guess if you don't call it under ice cream. But it just doesn't click. It's not quite that exciting. It hasn't quite hit that note that it should. And I'll go even further to say, I like sherbet. I love sherbet a lot. I'm a huge fan of it. And I always have that moment when I'm at an ice creamery and I'm grabbing a scoop of something where I stop before I'm probably going to get what I'm going to get. And I realize there's sherbet there. And I'm like, should I? And it's always the last thing that I call out before I get what I get. And it makes sense because when you look at the standings right now, there are 5 teams above 500 in this league. And they're about the top 5 teams that you could find some case to talk about them making a title run. The top 2 probably have a much stronger case beyond the other 3. But those are the 5 teams. And the 6th seed is the LA Sparks. The top seed sitting under 500, not really in that discussion. And if you talk to even in a Fairweather WNBA fan and just read this roster out loud to people, I'm going to come at you with a starting 5 of Neko Ogumike, Liz Cambage, Katie Lou Samuelson, Jordan Canada, and either Lexi Brand or Brittany Sykes, which means Christy Tolliver, Chinee Ogumike, and Kennedy Carter coming off the bench. People are expecting a deep run probably out of that crew, and it's just not quite there yet, but maybe give it time. For now, though, it's just your classic rainbow sherbet.
I like that.
That's not a knock.
That's a very cerebral, like, yeah. Well thought out. That's a smart pick.
I'm cerebral and well thought out about very few things, and I suppose one of them is ice cream. And that's how it goes. So that's the Sparks. Who would you like to talk next?
Let's save the best and worst for last, just because we've sort of done that on accident. Let's hit the Seattle Storm.
I have a feeling you were doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good one.
Seattle Storm, what a weird season for them. They're 17-9, they're one game back, or I guess a half game back from the Connecticut Sun, who we talk a lot about. They're right in the mix with the best teams in the league, and they've been there all season. It's not like they got off to a bad start and suddenly were surprised that they're there. But have we just become desensitized to, you know, Bree Stewart scoring 21 a game, or maybe the Sue Bird farewell tour has kind of overshadowed what this season means as a franchise to them, because the Sue Bird story is just so much bigger. But it's just a weird season for them. And that doesn't mean that they can't win it. They've obviously proven they can compete with the best teams over the last couple of years. Certainly this feels like the end of at least this iteration of the team's championship window. Who knows what they're going to do in the offseason. But this is kind of a send-off, not just to Sue Bird, but to this team as it's been constituted through multiple successful years and a few championships. So it's just, it feels like a weird finale, because they don't necessarily need to dominate or make a run at a ring in order for it to feel complete. And yet they have the capacity to do so. I just don't think they're actually going to do so. For me, the Seattle Storm are Tillamook Fireside S'mores, which is dear to my heart as my favorite flavor that actually was phased out. It was phased out around my birthday a couple years ago. You can still go get it at the Tillamook Cheese Factory up in Oregon, but they don't send it out to grocery stores anymore. And that's what it feels like to me. This Seattle team is really good. And at the same time, watching them, it feels like a conclusion or almost an epilogue type season where they've won all the things they're going to win. Sue Bird's been recognized for everything she's done. And it's just kind of a formal, like, look at how fun it is to watch these players play together. I'm going to include Jewel Lloyd in that too, although she's probably going to be there for another year. But eventually, like, this team as we know it is going to break up at the end of the year. And so even though they're good, undeniably good, it's also, there's kind of a twinge of sadness because you know it's not going to last forever. And that's where I'm at with them.
I like where you went with that, and it's really for those similar notes that what I thought of the Storm, and I hope that you catch what I do. It's the what I call the classic homemade ice cream, which is that vanilla homemade ice cream that's got that tinge of lemon in it. That, like, okay. Lemon homemade,
yeah.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
Because this is the last chance I'll have to have the take of how refreshing it is to see a team led by three long-standing first picks,
yeah,
on one roster.
That's true.
Who have up to this moment stuck it out with this roster, the three of them together to the tune of two championships. Of course, one of them having four. But that's what's interesting about this. In still being able to watch them play competitively, play together as a unit, seemingly enjoy playing together as you watch them, it's got that taste like home feeling. And it's something that, at least for us as fans of this league, for as long as we've been covering it on the show, has been kind of the standard bearer. They've always been there. And so it's like now we're moving on to life without it, and it's going to be interesting. And that's why it kind of had that feel and that flavor to me. Because this really is the last chance we're going to have here. Obviously, one of those ingredients is calling it. There's quite a chance another of those ingredients is on the way out. And I don't know how long that third ingredient is going to be sticking around after next year. So it's really intriguing that we get to have that shot. And then it's just like, it's almost, I'm about to make a very sad analogy, but it's almost just like we always went to Grandpa's for homemade ice cream, and after this year, we're putting Grandpa in a home, and no one really remembers how to make it, so we're not doing it anymore.
I'm really glad we didn't end on this one.
Jeez. That got really depressing.
I thought this was going to be an ice cream episode.
So we're going to have fun. No, but I just, you know, it's been a weird, fun nostalgia watching Seattle too. With that, and it'd be interesting to see if they take it up to any level. One team I really want to talk about, but I'm putting that ball in your court, whether or not you want them to go last or second to last. But we'll see how that goes. So this is our 10th squad. I've got to see who we got last. So it's them. And then it's Yes, yes, yes. Hey, let's talk about the Phoenix Mercury.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's please do.
Do you have one?
I need it. If you've got one, go for it. I'm stuck between a couple.
I think this is such a weird take. I think the Phoenix Mercury are a Wendy's Frosty.
Talk to me about this.
Undeniably elite, has all the ingredients you could need, but not in the form that necessarily is going to. They're not going to win a championship. They're probably not going to win the playoffs. I was going to try to work in like a 4-for-4 joke in here somewhere, but it all kind of fell apart. I wanted to give someone the designation of Frosty, and it made the most sense to give it to the Mercury because they're a little melty this season, not just because they play in Phoenix. Little messy, little smaller cup than you were hoping to get. Like, I don't know. I just, to me, when I get a Wendy's Frosty, I'm happy, and then I finish it and I'm a little disappointed. And that's basically the Phoenix Mercury arc this season to me, which is like, obviously all the Brittany Griner stuff aside, because we can't even get into that. And we've talked about it on prior episodes. We're not ignoring that. But in terms of the team that we've seen on the floor this season, it feels like a lost season. It feels like nobody planned dinner. And it's like, you know what? We're going to Wendy's on the way home. Let's get through this year. We fired Coach Brondello. We brought in Coach Nygaard. It hasn't been great. We care more about Griner than how this season goes. We're gonna grab fast food and we're gonna get home and go to bed.
Yeah. I was really hoping you were gonna go longer. Because I'm having a hard time with this.
They're a tough one to
pin down. And I think it speaks so much to why this team is, you know, because I haven't been able to figure it out. It's just one of those situations where I'm like, I'm trying to find a good one for them, but like, I'm so confused about this team that I'm trying to think of like an ice cream that imbues this feeling I have of like, I just don't know what to feel about you. And I don't know what to feel about this ice cream, but it's like, you know, you're always around. And, you know, I'm trying to say it out loud, hoping that something just, like, comes in my head. I'm also just looking up a couple items really quick to make this happen. Sorry, everyone. He may cut it by this point because I'm just yelling. Not yelling. That'd be funny, though. Sorry, I need 1 second. This is not good.
You're not the boss of me now. You're not the boss of me now. It's been stuck in my head ever since you said, like, you almost said exactly the words, and I was like, does he know? Like,
that would have been really good. Let's see. All right. I actually like where I'm going with this. Because the Mercury, as I've just made very known, they're just a confusing team. It's hard to tell from one night to another if the team is good or if they're, and I mean this, not good. I mean, there's not like a lukewarm feeling about them. Not some nights they're really good. They just beat, they just beat Seattle by like 21. And then they'll have nights where they play quite putridly. And it's hard to tell where I take. And I've got to tell you, this is exactly how I feel about English toffee, because I can't, like, I've had scoops of it. That's among the best ice cream I've had.
I had no idea where you were going.
A lot of times I dig into it and I go, this is pretending to have chocolate in it, and it just makes me want chocolate ice cream. And that's kind of how it makes me feel. Any of those, like ripple type things. See, I almost went just plain chocolate chip for that reason, whereas that felt too boring. English toffee is trying to be a very interesting. It's got a lot of swirl in it. It has a unique chocolate with the toffee, but it's so little on converting the flavors sometimes that you never quite catch it, the chocolate being the main one. And that's how I feel about the market. They're just in a tough case because, and then it's also not just how I feel, but like how critical can I be, right? And I'm telling you, if someone serves you English toffee, it's an interesting enough ice cream that if someone serves it to you, it's probably like their favorite ice cream. So how critical can I be of it in front of
right.
them?
Right. English toffee fans are the X factor of the ice cream world.
Yeah. But it's also like, you know, this team has not only had nights where they haven't played well, there's this constant feeling of unrest of like Tina Charles up and left. Are we getting rid of Skylar Diggins-Smith? Are there issues there? She's subtweeting at her coach. There's all this stuff going on. We forget that we're not a year removed from them being like a huge powder keg in the locker room after the finals.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so there's all this stuff that's like, what's going on?
I think it's good that you gave them a complex flavor because you have a lot of moving pieces here. And they're kind of, in a way, they're kind of the anti-Connecticut Sun. Not that they don't play together as a team, but you've got Tarazi and Skydig, and you had Tina Charles, and you have a lot of like heavy hitting names in that locker room. But instead of turning into a super team that all kind of learned how to live cohesively, it just has never felt that way. And like, it's been a good season from Tarazi, and it's been a good season. Like, on any given night, either Tarazi or Diggins Smith is going for 25 plus. Like, they're still elite scorers. They're doing their thing, but at no point this season has it felt like Phoenix is a threat to anybody for anything. Yep. Right? Like, they started off 2-8. So you're like, all right, well, they're not going to make the playoffs. And now they're 12-16. Maybe, probably not. They're in the hunt. They can beat Dallas in that game at the end of the season, maybe slip in. But, like, they're not going on a run like their finals run last year. Like, I don't think anybody really sees that coming. So.
No, I feel you there. So it's a confusing thing, but there's a lot of ways to take it. We, non-surprisingly, are left with the top and bottom seeds, and that was not by any plan. That's just kind of how it came out. I'm going to let you, it being your pick, determine where we take this last discussion.
I want to end on maybe a positive note. So this is actually my favorite pick of the day, but this was the first one I thought of when we just kind of sprung this on like, hey, let's do this ice cream draft episode. Indiana Fever is totally breakup ice cream.
Do I know what breakup ice cream is?
It's not a flavor.
You need ice cream just, you had a bad breakup?
It's just breakup ice cream. You love it, but it's making you sad. Like, you're comforting yourself with it because it's something that's supposed to help, but it actually hurts because you find yourself at the bottom of a pint of ice cream and you think, this did not make me happy. In a way, they are the cherry Garcias that still live in my freezer because I can't bring myself to throw them out yet.
Son of a I so nearly gave this team cherry Garcia.
That's the Indiana. I love the Indiana.
That's one of the few. It's one of the few Ben and Jerry's I can't get through. But anyway,
I love the Indiana Fever. They're on an 11-game losing streak. They are not a good team. That is not a surprise to anyone. Although early season, I do think there was some buzz around this team being fun to watch. I think they've lost that a little bit just by not putting up W's. But to be fair, the personnel is still legitimately one of my favorite groups in the league. I'm excited to see their offseason. I'm excited to see their next year. I think this is the first year Fever fans have reason to be optimistic in the future after a bad season, where in the past it was very much just like same old, same old. Just to name a couple of them by name, Queen Egbo. Let me start there before getting to like the obvious ones. There's just players on this team that I think are going to be really good, and I hope that the Fever can keep a lot of them together. Kelsey Mitchell, always. Nelissa Smith could have been a number one overall pick in a different draft. Queen Egbo is great. Danielle Robinson, friend of the show, dear friend of the show. We love seeing her be successful in any stretch. Frankly, this team is just an all-star NCAA team playing in the WNBA right now. Emily Inksler, I want to make sure we give her the shout out because we're big Inksler fans on the show. Destiny Henderson, who again has had glimpses this season of like heck yeah, she might be the player of the draft. Except Nelissa Smith and Ryan Howard were also in this draft. This is a good draft. Like from what we've seen so far, we thought it was going to be one of the weaker classes. I think this class and the next one are all going to fuel the WNBA for years to come. And a lot of those players are going to come from this team. So I'm excited about that. Plus, just they've got attitude finally. They have a little bit of an identity, although that'll come more when they start winning. But they're playing against athletes. Like, I mean, Sue Bird's got 4 championships and 5 gold medals, and she's not even the best player on the Seattle Storm. The Fever cannot hang in a league full of players like that right now because they've got a bunch of 22-year-olds who haven't played at this level yet. But they will.
Yeah.
But for now, it's just kind of a thought of like what could be. And that's why they're breakup ice cream, is because I'm sad because things aren't going great for them right now. But the thought of what could be.
It's comforting
that
there appears to be some effort. Like there's some investment into that youth.
You could read deeper into this and say that maybe the divorce from Tamika Catchings in the front office, as much as it probably sucked, probably needed to happen to move forward and get to the next chapter.
Unfortunately, the best thing that may have happened, but it's going to take a minute. We just don't know. And you know, when this all started, I was ready to just be that guy and just give them, like, French vanilla. That's not quite it. I don't think that quite speaks to them. This is the most disappointed I've been in a team just because I still think they can perform better than they have been. I mean, they're already out of the playoff run, and that's really frustrating. Because they had a quick stretch of games early on where it seemed like they might be pretty competitive. They might be able to pull some cool stuff together. And it felt like they were really trying something, and it didn't work. We thought we had something interesting, but do you know what we had all along? We were sitting in front of a scoop of black licorice ice cream.
No.
And this is a trendy ice cream. We've seen it around. And it's, you want to credit them for doing something, but it's just not quite working. Maybe they'll find a better flavor profile next year. But you know that Bob's moment with Jimmy Pesto when he tries to try his burger for the first time?
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not good. It's not good. Like that, in a way, is how the season went quickly for the Fever. Because it really felt like they had some pieces to turn it around. And there are some frustrating things that turned this into black licorice ice cream. I felt like there were some youngins they could have been invested a little harder, Henny probably being the main one.
Sure.
And just finding kind of a direction. But I'm going to give it to him for trying something. Now, this very much is a flavor profile that was given to them via Marianne Stanley. They're going to be moving on from that in full force next year. And they have a chance to kind of really turn those pieces around into something more interesting.
Yeah, they've made
and I'm excited
decisions.
To see where that goes. I just, it's frustrating. This is the most disappointed I've been because I thought they had something to turn around and they were a little under that. And that's where unfortunately, a certain Kyle Haywood is listening to this and going like, heck yeah, so stoked. Let's try some black licorice ice cream. This seems the mouth of a 90-year-old. But, I think universally it's not quite working. But it's like they tried something different. They tried something unique, and I got to give them credit for that. And I got to feel like they're on the road for it to pay off eventually.
It takes guts to move on from your all-time best player being in the front office and to fire your coach mid-season in a year where you knew you probably weren't going to be very talented and win a lot of games. And they looked at themselves, asked, are we happy? The answer was no, and they changed something. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I'm going to give that to them. Let's move forward. We're going to finish this up, of course, with your defending champion and top-ranked Chicago Sky.
Chicago.
I'm going to take the reins of this because this plays off of a take you already had where you handed the Liberty mint chocolate chip and you talked about how there was a certain piece missing. And guess what? The Chicago Sky are grasshopper ice cream.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Such a good answer.
They were the team sitting in that mint chocolate chip limbo for lunch. Keep in mind, I'll say this out loud. Mint chocolate chip, perfectly done, my favorite ice cream. As far as like ice cream flavors at their apex, any flavor at their best, mint chocolate chip will be my favorite. Because when it's very good, there's nothing better. I've had a lot of mint chips. They're not good. Here's the thing. They were sitting in that limbo for a while. And whether it was just Candace herself or the onslaught of all the changes that came with Candace Parker signing, that's what added that cookie to the mix. And this team had figured it out. And it almost feels like this last stretch of games, or last several games, I mean, they've won six in a row and were good before then, is them pretty much out loud saying, like, we know who we are. And they used this All-Star break. So almost a lot of times you come out of All-Star break rusty. It almost feels like they used that to bolster themselves more. First of all, it was a hosting, you know, it was at home where they got to host things. They basically took over one of the All-Star nights with Quigley dropping a 30 spot in the 3-point contest and Candace becoming her own meme. And it just feels like that energy is there. And it's reinvigorating itself, and it's almost like someone just like held up a cookie and said, did we forget that we perfected the formula? Why don't we just play like we're supposed to play?
Yeah.
And they figured it out. They have those pieces in play. The difference, you know, the one different thing I could say between them and Vegas right now, and this isn't just based off the last 10 games, Vegas has been extremely good, has made an argument for being the best team in the league. And I look at Chicago and I just go, at the end of the day, the team that I could put three games past last in a series of five is the Chicago Sky.
Yeah.
It's all there for them. And, you know, Niesemann's figuring out how to play with this squad again. Like, it's just becoming a problem. And when you called out that mint chocolate chip, I knew exactly where I was taking Chicago because that's where it sits right now. So they're grasshopper.
Yeah. No, that's a great call. I agree with everything you said. I agree with your choice of flavor. I was kind of thinking the same thing. When it comes to, I mentioned earlier during the Vegas segment, like I would probably bet on them above anyone else. A lot of that is because I get kind of obsessed with the idea that Asia Wilson feels like someone who's going to have a ring eventually. Like it feels inevitable. But then I look at Chicago's roster and I just think to myself, Candace Parker's not done winning rings. I wouldn't bet against her either.
Candace literally said as much too.
Yeah, like Candace Parker's like at any given point she could be the best offensive and defensive player on the floor, and you just never find that in basketball. And Chicago seems dead set on winning another one and running it back, and I don't necessarily know if Vegas has what it takes to stand in their way, or Connecticut or Seattle for that matter. So instead of giving you another flavor, because I'm in total agreement, I'm going to share two extremely quick ice cream Steve and Logan stories. The first is we used to work together at a job where I was a salesman and Steve was actually my account manager. And I was such a poor salesman. I was not fit for that job. And on days that would get really difficult,
it was a bit of a raw deal.
Things were unlucky, but I just also was not good at it. And on days that things went really bad, Steve and I would take a lunch break where we would walk a couple blocks away to Far's Ice Cream, and we would just sit and chat pretty much about the sort of stuff that you hear us chat about on the show. And I would eat grasshopper ice cream from Far's because they had a really good version of it. And that's what I associate grasshopper ice cream with now. The other ice cream story.
I hope.
Well, you should share it then, because it's from, was it when we were at the WWE event?
Was it there or the Jazz game?
It was that or the Jazz game. We were at Vivid. What? Yeah.
Yeah. We were standing in line at, I want to say, the Iceberg line for Iceberg Shakes. And I ordered a grasshopper shake because, yeah, it's great. It's great flavor. and then turned around to a child. I kid you not, mortified. Mortified.
Eyes at like huge
what
in his face.
In the living hell is a grasshopper shake. And I felt like I didn't say anything. I think like his dad was with him and he tried to explain it. But like, oh gosh, that kid said he's so lucky. He's
he
not
was
my dad.
He was scarred.
Out of my way to be like, oh, this is like a local thing. Have you not heard about this? Yeah, grasshoppers really good with ice cream.
Like, he wasn't just like offended at the idea of it. He was like worried for Steve. He's like, why?
As if, as if he. It almost the look on his face looked like it was like an initiation. Like you're standing in line. Everyone must eat the grasshopper shake. And that's how you're like inducted into whatever. And like it was, I'll never forget that face of like pure fear. Cause if you don't know what it is at all and you've never heard of it, I don't know how you like,
it's
how
not,
you piece together. Yeah, oh, that's mint.
It's not cookies, a, like, it's not a leap that a child's brain would make like, oh, it's probably this.
Yeah. Henry probably would have that same thing of being like, what are you doing? Like,
gosh, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I to be a fly on a wall the day that child learned about tiger's blood, like, would have been the best day. I'm so glad you brought that up because anytime I'm anywhere near like grasshopper flavored, I do think of that moment.
I remember turning around and the look on his face just said, "This is shocking." this is
like,
horrible.
You're gonna what? So, death is okay in public.
I'm like, glad you remember that as
sir,
well.
People can see you.
That's an all-time grasshopper ice cream memory for Logan Steve.
Yes, that is. I'm glad you brought that up. So there you have it. There's our ice cream takes for all teams. And we encourage you to get over on Twitter at WNBA Nation Pod or Facebook or email us if you want to. Don't mail us normally. You can't have our addresses. Please don't look them up. But let us know. What takes you have, what ice cream, which ones we got wrong, which ones we got right, how you feel, all the good stuff, have some fun with that. And just general thoughts, questions, and takes when it comes to the remainder of the season. We're hitting the hot period, and there's a lot of stories to be told. But anything, Logan, you have for the audience for all day?
Nothing. I just appreciate this discussion allowing me the time to cool off for a little while before we re-enter summer days here. Obviously, we will have more episodes coming at you real soon. We're going to get Kyle back next week. We're going to get Jason Internet someday. It's going to be great. We should have the full crew here for the home stretch.
Yeah, we'll be back to dorm. Before long, I'll be recording from a different house, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah, that's really everything. We hope you enjoy the fun take on the halfway or, you know, the last stretch, one third point of the season, maybe, whatever. This point of the season, and talk a little bit of ice cream. We hope you're staying cool, staying healthy, and staying happy wherever you are. We've got a lot of exciting stuff to have before season end. But until then, thank you for listening to the show. I'm Steve Schwartzman.
I am Logan Jones.
And we got you next time.
I'll see you in the lobby later. You told me.